All right, guys, so we're in lesson 17, so we're going to be in chapter 9 today. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to focus on verses 1 to 15. And so he's going to again talk about, you know, he talked about the issue of generosity before. So now he's going to specifically talk about this offering for the Christians in Jerusalem. So I want us to look at verses 1 to 5, but before we do that, let's kind of get a kind of a background, a little bit of what we've talked about over the last 2 weeks. So I want you to think, we've talked about generosity from Paul's perspective. Anybody, if anything can that stands out to you from what we talked about, what is it for you? When we've looked at it, what stands out to you from what Paul's talked about? Okay. Yes. Okay, so Bruce, what you're saying, what stood out to you was that generosity isn't just for the church, but it's for work beyond the church. It's for individuals who might be believers or unbelievers. You know, it's being generous in all areas of your life. Okay, all right. Anybody else? Anybody else got a thought? What did you learn from it? Because we're going to wrap it up today. So let me kind of remind you. So he talked about generosity. He talked about it not being under compulsion. He talked about it being in proportion to how God has blessed you. He talked about the attitude of generosity, not worrying about helping somebody else, because when you're in a bad way, somebody will help you. He talked about selecting people, the importance of selecting people to carry the gift or to manage the gift. You know, he talked about a lot of different things. He talked about not wanting to, you know, impose his own needs upon them and so forth. So, can I ask you something? When you think about what Paul's saying, how does that compare to what you hear communicated today in Christian world in America today? How does it compare? Is he going in a different direction than what you've heard, or what? I mean, I told you last week about cards where you sign your name, you know what I'm saying, and pledge cards. Is Paul talking pledge cards? No. Well, why don't we progress on with this? All right, let's look at verses 1 to 5. So here's what Paul writes. Now, it's super frivolous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an instruction. All right, so let's talk about this. All right. So again, he's getting back to reminding them about their commitment, and he wants to save them some embarrassment. Okay, so let's take a look at this. So Paul feels that he doesn't need to write to them about the need. So he's not going to spend his time talking to them about the situation over in Jerusalem. They already know that need. They've already committed. They already made a promise, okay? So he's not going to spend his time. You know, how many of you get tired of Christian fundraising letters? Do you guys get tired? I do, okay? Because, I mean, they keep coming and they say the same thing over and over again. It's one thing to get one, but to get one every 2 weeks, that just kind of is too much, isn't it? Okay? And somehow we've landed in this marketing strategy world that we live in, where we do that. Well, Paul says, I'm not going to waste my time marketing the need. I'm not going to tell you about the need. You already know the need, okay? It's super frivolous for me to do that, okay? So he points out that they already know about the need and their commitment to meet it. So they already know what it is. They already made a commitment to meet it, all right? They've already said, we're going to do this much. So here's what he did. The brethren were sent to encourage them to fulfill their commitment. Here's what Paul's doing. He's wanting to remind them. Somehow maybe he got wind of something. Maybe he got wind, they got distracted or whatever. But he didn't want to embarrass them. So what he did was is that he said, you know, we were going to come, and some of the Macedonian brothers were coming with us, because again, they would come with them because they're helping to carry the gift that's going to ultimately go to Jerusalem. And Paul's been in Macedonia saying, no, you know, our brethren over in Greece, all the way over in Corinth there, they have promised to do this much. They have stepped up. They're doing really good. Okay, so now they're going to come back through, and they're going to go through Corinth. And Paul knows, whoa, but if they're not ready, I'm going to be embarrassed. Because I've been going around talking about how great they are, how much they're going to give. And what if we show up and they haven't done anything? They haven't gotten ready at all. We're going to be embarrassed. The Macedonians are going to be embarrassed. And the Corinthians are going to be embarrassed. So guess what Paul does? He says, I'm sending the brothers ahead. Probably not the Macedonians, but some other brothers, like Titus or something, ahead to get you ready so that there won't be any embarrassment, so that you can fulfill your commitment. Now, let's stop for a moment. What is this a good attitude Paul has? I mean, some people would be like, well, if they're not ready, they're not ready, and that's their embarrassment. I'm not going to carry it. Is that the attitude Paul has? No, he's actually wanting to spare them, right? He's wanting to spare them. He wants them to fulfill. So here it is. He wants to spare them embarrassment when he comes with the Macedonians. So he's wanting to spare them embarrassment. I think, honestly, to be honest with you, this is a Christian virtue that's kind of missing today. Do you understand? We're so self-focused on me looking good, it doesn't enter into our minds to make sure my brother or my sister doesn't look good. We want them to be okay. Did you understand what I'm saying? So Paul wants to spare them the embarrassment, all right? He wants to spare the embarrassment that comes with the when he comes with the Macedonians. So here's his motive. He wants to give them the opportunity to give with the right attitude. That's pretty good here. In fact, I like the way he says it. Look at verse 5. Here's what he says. Being ready, excuse me, I jumped ahead to chapter 10. Go back to verse 9. So that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an extraction. So he wants the gift that they give to be a what kind of gift? A willing gift. Now, what's an extraction? An obligation. So, yeah, like you owe it. Yeah, so if he showed up with the Macedonians and they weren't ready after he's been bragging about how they've committed themselves to give this much, and all of a sudden the Macedonians there, everybody's embarrassed. Now they're giving, is it willingly, or are they giving to save face, or are they giving because they have to? That's an extraction, right? He wants to spare them that opportunity. He wants them to be ready to give their gift because it came from their heart, not because, oh, wow, Paul's coming. Well, we've got the Macedonians here. He's been bragging about us. We gotta do this. I don't know if we should. You know what I'm saying? So he's trying to get them to approach it from a better way. So notice again how many times Paul has done this over the last, even in chapter 8, he's talking about giving that is what? Willing, not by compulsion. Because if you are forced into giving, your heart's not in it. You know what I'm saying? Not at all. All right, now let's go on. We're going to look at verse 6 now. Look with me at verse 6 through 7, okay? 6 through 7. Here's what he writes. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. All right, so let's take a look here. Let's talk about the issue of giving. So he's going to give us first a principle of giving. So the blessing of God is proportionate to the level of giving. So he's just kind of giving a general principle here that God's blessing on your life is proportionate to your level of giving. Now, let me just stop for a moment because some folks will twist this and talk about the blessing of God in only in terms of finances. So if you give, then God will bless you proportionately financially. Yeah, he can do that. But that, to be honest with you, is robbing the whole concept of blessing. Because it may not be that God proportionately blesses you financially, but maybe proportionately blesses you in other ways. Do you understand? The point is he's blessing you. And if you are generous, he's going to be generous with his blessings on you. Okay? His blessings on you. Now, here's the attitude. He calls for the readers to give from their hearts. So again, he's been reiterating that through the last couple chapters. Not by, here he even said it in this portion, not by compulsion. Not by twisting of your arms. But willingly. In fact, he loves what? A cheerful giver. Okay, people who want to do this. They're to give cheerfully, not begrudgingly. Because you can get to the point where it just seems like all they want is what? Yeah, and so when you give, is it out of a cheerful heart? Well, you hope it would be. But it would be begrudging. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so here he is. They are to give cheerfully, not begrudgingly. Okay? Cheerfully, not begrudgingly. So then look with me. We already read verse 8. Look at verse 9 and 10. Okay? 9 and 10. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So here's what I want you to see. God's role. Go all the way back to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. So here's God's role. Now again, I want you to notice something. He did it again. Look at verse 8. He is able to make God's grace abound to you. Remember I told you that he talks about giving and generosity as a what? Grace. The ability to give is a grace from God. Okay? So the ability to give for you as a believer comes from God. All right? So here's what I want you to see. Let's take a look at this, okay? So he is able to provide you with everything you need to give. He's able to provide you with everything you need to give. If he's the one who's stirring you, and remember, when I talk about giving, I'm not just talking, in church we like to say, oh, it's only about church. No, generosity is about you being available to help other Christians, or even as Bruce mentioned, even unbelievers, to reach out to them, to be generous. If he's stirring your heart, if the Spirit of God is stirring your heart to do something for someone out of the spirit of generosity, he's going to give you the ability and the means to do it. Did you understand what I'm saying? He's going to be the one who gives you that ability. He's going to give you everything you need to give. So here's the provision. God will provide for all of your needs, including your gifts for his work. Now you said, I thought you said this wasn't about church. Well, no. His work isn't only happening in a church. Listen, folks, God is already at work outside. In fact, he does far more outside of a church than he ever does in a church through God's people, through you. And he's going to give you the ability to do that. He wants you to be an expression of God's generosity to the people that you live around and be around. So he will provide for all of your needs, including your gifts for his work. For his work. So here's the principle of generosity. Look with me at verse 11 through 13, okay? Here's what he says. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also an overflow in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of their submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. All right, let's take a look here. So here's the purpose. God points out that our resources were given to us in order to be given away. In order to be given away. I've shared this story before, but it made such an impression upon me. And it was something I read in a missions journal about a missionary to Papua New Guinea who loved books. And she would get care packages with books that would come. And she loved books so much, but she didn't want to be generous with them. She didn't want to share them with the other missionaries. So she kept them in a trunk in her room in a tropical climate. She hoarded them, these books. Instead of reading them and passing them on and letting them be a blessing to others, she hoarded them. And then one night, in the middle of the night, she heard a sound coming from her footlocker where she kept her books. Sound of munching a little bit? I don't know. I don't know how you'd describe it. Well, she panicked, got up, opened up the footlocker, looked in the bottom, and there were her books and the worms that were eating them. The worms from the tropical climate. And then she realized, it was like God was saying to her, if you had just shared those books, they would still be your books. But you hoarded them. And she lost them. You know, God gives you what he gives you to be generous with it, to share it with others. And again, I'm not talking church. Yeah, it can be church, but church the people. You know what I'm saying? It's not all about what you give to the church. It's about you being a generous person in general. God blesses you. Be a blessing to others. Okay? So it was given, resources are given to us in order to be given away. Now here's the result. Paul stated that their giving would produce thanksgiving from him. So if he heard that they were being generous to the believers down in Jerusalem, he would be thankful. It would produce thanksgiving to God for what they did. So here it is. Their giving would benefit others in two areas. All right, so here's where it is. Two areas. It would meet the needs as well as produce thanksgiving. When you are generous, you meet the need, but you also produce what from people? Should produce thanksgiving, right? Okay? Should produce thanksgiving. And for the most part, yes, I know that every once in a while there's somebody who's like, they expect it and they don't say anything. They're a minority. Most people will say to you, thank you. That was needed. Okay? That was needed. It would produce thanksgiving. So here it is. Glory is given to God. Verse 13. Their obedience and giving brings glory to God. And so here's what he's saying. Okay, let me use Brad here. Okay. Let's say Brad is going about his everyday routine that he has during the week. He comes in contact with another brother in Christ, somebody he's met from the community. Maybe doesn't even go to our church. But he and Brad knows he's a believer, but Brad also knows that he's kind of going through some tough times right now. He's going through some hardship. He's financially, things are kind of hard. And God's Spirit speaks to Brad and says, hey, Brad, I want you to do this for him. Now, Brad's got a choice. Brad could listen to the Spirit telling him to do something, or he could decide to ignore it. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of us, be honest with you, I ain't got time for that. Or if I do that, I won't have anything for myself. We have this wrestling match. But Brad says, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. And Brad helps out that brother. Him doing that brings glory to God. Well, you say nobody would even... God, glory is brought through the things that we do for others. Because of why we do it, in obedience to the Lord. Did you understand what I'm saying? Glory is given to God. Well, nobody knows that I did it. That's fine. That doesn't matter. But the God in heaven knows that you did it. And glory is brought to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Glory is brought to him. Their obedience brings glory to God. Okay? Glory to God. Now, look with me at verse 14 and 15. He's going to offer a prayer here. Look at what he says. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So here's the prayers for the Corinthians. Paul stated that because of their gift, they will be prayed for by those who have benefited. That's natural, right? Tell me something. Maybe it's you know this, or maybe you know of somebody. You went through a difficult time, and somebody else was there for you. Somebody else, God led them somehow. You don't know how, but you just know that they were there for you. They provided whatever to help you through your situation. Do you forget them? No, you shouldn't, right? In fact, you're thankful for them. In fact, you maybe will say, and I've heard others say, if it wasn't for so-and-so, I don't know how I could have gotten through that. You ever heard somebody say that? Yeah. He's saying here that when they benefit, they will be prayed for because the people who receive the benefit will give thanks to God for them. They will pray for them. You know what I'm saying? They'll be remembered. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the point he's talking about here. So then, here's his thanksgiving. He concludes by thanking God for his gift through Jesus Christ. So again, it's ultimately for the Lord, through the Lord that gives thanks, because it's through the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the relationship with God. He gives you the ability to do it. Because again, it's a grace, okay? It's a grace. All right.